Imaragai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. In recent weeks, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison has been sharing the importance of family. Last week, he shared about God's forgiveness after he'd fallen into adultery and how, in time, his family also forgave him. This week, Tony is talking about how families cope when they have a family member in prison.
There's two types of family commitments. What I've seen over the years of being in prison, of 10 years of incarceration, there's the type of the commitments to families is that people go to prison and they've gone to prison because of a selfish act. Nobody goes to prison because they've done something for somebody else. It's usually because they've committed a crime and done something for themselves, something for short-term gain. But the thing is, the human spirit, the human body will adapt to any situation. And like prisoners of war, you know, they adapt to their circumstances. And it's no different to today when you're in prison. Your body and your spirit will adapt to any conditions. And you think, well, is there such thing as rehabilitation? Well, let me tell you, no, there's not. You can run all the programs in prison. You can attend all the education programs. You can do whatever you want. But there's no real rehabilitation. Because, you see, to be rehabilitated, you need to have self-control. You need to be able to want to change. And the problem with addictions or anything else is that people don't want to change. And you see, I remember when I went to prison, after 5 years, I said to myself, I said, I can't wait to get out of this place. I'm never going to come back. I'm never going to come back to this place. You hear them steel doors clang and they echo in your head and into your soul. Being in prison is not easy because it's a sad on you when family and loved ones come to visit. But then again, they have to leave. Especially if you're in a relationship and you got a wife and two or three kids and you're locked up. The prison system is such a thing is that you're never in the one jail for the whole sentence. You're moved around from prison to prison. But you see, either your family travel long distance to see you, and they've got to have the finances to do that. They've got to be able to have a vehicle to travel. And it takes a long time to get to some of these prisons because they're not built, except for the ones in the city, they're not built on public transport. They're built on out-of-the-way places. And the thing is, some prisons, you know, from the nearest town, it's a 45-minute drive by car to get to a prison to visit somebody. And then, you know, you drive all that way and you can only see them for a couple of hours. And that's a lot of money and a lot of expense. What I want to talk about today is breaking the cycle of going back to prison. And the only way I've found that you can break that cycle is to trust Jesus Christ.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever.
I've known many a men. They used to say to me, Tony, geez, I'm not bad like you. You know, I'm not doing a 10-year prison term. But you know what? I said to one bloke one day, I said to him, I've been here 10 years and you've been here every year that I've been here for the last 10 years, but you're doing 6 months at a time. You go out, you get drunk, you get caught drink driving, you're in for 6 months. Or you get drunk, you assault somebody, you're in for 6 months. But over the 10 years that I've been here, you've probably done about 8, but in short sentences. The trouble is with us when we get out of prison is we forget all about prison, we forget how bad it was, and the only time it comes back to our thoughts is when we get caught again or when we get arrested. That's it all comes back to us when you get locked up. You know, when you get locked up, it's not like, okay, they come to the house and they arrest you, or they arrest you at the scene of an armed robbery or at a break-in. They don't say, okay, you're arrested now. You've got 3 months to get your house in order, go home and sort out your job and sort out your family and your possessions. That, no. Ever play Monopoly? It's go straight to jail. Go straight past, go home, pick up $200 and go to jail. And you don't always get out of jail free card. And so when you go into prison, whether it's 6 months, 3 weeks or 12 years or 10 years, you know, while ever you're in prison, there are other people in prison too, like your family. They might be outside, they can go to the shops and they go to work and they do everything else, they go to the football, but they're in prison too. Because you see, if you're a husband or you're a father, you're depriving your wife and your children while you're in prison because they don't get to see you. You don't get to see your children grow up either. And the thing is, it's not fun being on a visit as a little child with your dad or your brother or your sister or your uncle. You know, recently I had a friend of mine went to a prison up to visit an inmate. He was on remand. And it took us a while to drive there, but it also took us ages to get into the prison with the new security systems. I mean, we were standing around there for an hour, and there was a lady in line in front of me. And I jokingly said to her, I said, this baby will be born before you get to see whoever you're visiting. And she said, well, I've only got 2 weeks left. We had a bit of a joke and I laughed. And I just said to her, I said, you know, I said, are you visiting your husband? She said, oh, no, I'm not visiting my husband. She said, oh, I'm visiting my brother. And I said, oh, is this his first time in? Is he doing long? And she said, well, he's got 6 years. She said, and I've committed to visiting him every fortnight. I said, that's a big commitment out of your life to visit him every fortnight. Well, she said, it's only 6 years this time. She said, the last time I visited him every fortnight for 13 years. And she said, and the jail that he was in was a long way from where I lived. It used to take me 5 or 6 hours to get there. And then to visit him for a couple of hours and then have lunch, visit for another couple of hours and then drive all the way back home. And, you know, she said, he told me not to come today because I'm so close to having the baby. But he'll be glad to see me. Even though she didn't do anything wrong, she's in prison too. Because she spends every fortnight coming to the prison to visit. I made a decision a long time ago when I was in prison that I didn't want family to visit me. Because I couldn't cope. You know, a lot of Aboriginal prisoners don't cope well inside being incarcerated. They have a very high death in custody. A lot of Aboriginal prisons have been ruled by the coroner to commit suicide. A lot of deaths and suicide is because people don't cope too well with being locked up. You think about being in prison and you think about it's okay, it's easy, you can get by. But see, it killed me every time my old dad and my mum came down to visit and the family come to visit. They travel for hours to come and see me. And sometimes money was scarce, they had to save up for it. But I made a decision that I didn't want them to come anymore. And it was for about 2 year period that I stopped my family from coming to visit me because I couldn't cope. And I knew very well that it was very hard on Mum and very hard on my dad and even my brothers and my sister that used to come to the jail to visit. Because I was in prison, I just couldn't cope when they come to visit. So I built a prison inside my head And that's where I locked away all my memories, my family, my ex-wife and my son at the time. I just put them all in prison inside my head. You know, it allowed me to cope. It allowed me to get through my prison time without too many difficulties. But you see, like, even in the real jail, every now and again people have a jailbreak, people escape from prison. When you lock people up in your head and you lock them up there so that they don't get out, because the last thing you want to do is be thinking about family and friends when you can't do anything about it. Back in the early days when I first went into prison, they used to read all your mail, and they used to read your mail that you sent out. And I remember getting a letter from Mum telling me that she wrote me a letter, she told me later that to let me know my auntie had died. Because they don't want you receiving bad news or news from your wife that she's leaving you or something like that, because it makes prisoners unrestful. You know, they all they think about then is escape and what they can do. And you can't change anything on the outside once you're on the inside. So it makes it very difficult. So what had happened was that I said to Mum and Dad, you know, you can't come to visit. And then every now and again you'd be asleep and you'd have a dream. And I used to dream about my son. And it was so real and so vivid. You wake up in the dark and the pre-dawn early morning and, you know, and you can just reach out and touch him or touch your Mum and Dad. You can just reach out and almost touch them. And then you wake up. And there's nothing, because what usually wakes you up is the clanging of steel when they're opening up the cell doors. And, you know, it's a really eerie feeling, you know, to hear them steel on steel all the time. And, you know, you'd be sound asleep and you'd be dreaming about family and loved ones, and the clang of steel on steel would wake you up and there'd be nothing. You'd be lying there in a very small room in the dark, and you got nothing and nobody. You can't touch them. You can't do anything. And you just feel so lonely and empty. But the good news is that if you get out of prison, you need to break the cycle. And these rehabilitation programs don't work, you know, because I know, I can tell you that. I tried. When I first got out, I started going to church, but I wasn't saved. And I felt good going to church because people knew who I was and what I was, and they tried to help me. But then I decided, well, you know, if I can hang around some of my old mates and share what I've been hearing about God at church, it might change them. And I thought I was doing something really Christian, that I was going to share something with them. Even though I wasn't saved, I was going to do something really Christian and share how good God was. Instead of me helping them, I finished up doing another armed robbery. You see, the only way to break the cycle is to stop hanging around those people. And, you know, if you really genuinely get saved and you minister in God's love and power, if they're not ready to receive that, they don't want nothing to do with you. They will avoid you like the plague. And the thing is, you've got to make a decision. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to go back to jail anymore. But for you families that are out there that have currently got somebody in prison, a family member, you know, the best thing you can do for them is to pray for them. Just pray that God will touch them and do something to them before they get out. That God will help them see that if they don't change, it's going to keep going on. It's going to keep going on. And you're going to be like this poor woman that spent 13 years visiting her brother in prison every fortnight. And now she's doing another 6. That's 19 years. Over the years, I've seen many families just caught in the drudgery of going to prison to visit and visit. And I know lots and thousands of prisoners that have got out. And their last famous word was, "I'm not coming back here." And it mightn't be within the first week. It mightn't be for the first 6 weeks. But usually within the first 12 months, they come back in. And you know what? Sometimes it's for the same thing over and over again. They just never learn from their mistakes. And the thing is, human beings can't change themselves, but God can change them from the inside out. We need to get into a relationship with God. And you know, it's not easy to say, well, you know, I'm not going to commit crime anymore because of my kids and my wife. And you got to say, I'm not going to commit crime anymore because I don't want to go back to jail. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to finish up in jail. I actually had the privilege back in the 90s I had the privilege of going back into Long Bay Jail as a preacher. When I went back in there, it's been over 20 years. When I went back in there, it was over 20 years that since I'd been in prison. And I went back there to preach, and the Christian businessman in Sydney invited me in to preach a sermon at Long Bay Jail. I remember going there, and we took in a lot of pizza and to feed the prisoners that came to the meeting at the minimum security. And you know what really surprised me? A lot of the people that came to hear me preach were people that was in there back in the 70s when I was there, but they were still there, or they'd been in and out. You know what I mean? The same old faces. I said to some of these guys, I said, you know, I haven't been back because I trusted God. I haven't been back because I allowed God to change me. I wanted to be changed. And to do that, even now as a Christian, every day is a walk with Jesus. Every day is spending time with him. Because if I don't spend that time with God in a relationship, then I know that temptation is just around the corner. It's just like an alcoholic saying, you know, I'm one drink away from being a drunk. I remember once when I got out of prison and I went to a small town to live in where I got out of prison, and it was Christmas. We had no money for Christmas, and it was so tempting just to pick up a gun and go and rob a bank. The hardest thing in my life was that particular year was I'd never asked anybody for anything, and I actually went to the Salvation Army and I asked them for help. I asked them for some money for Christmas. I asked them for some food, and they actually gave me presents for the kids. Swallowed me pride. And you know, that's another thing that gets us into so much trouble, our pride. And the thing is today, if you're a family member and you've got someone in prison, even if you're not saved, you must know someone that's a Christian, a real Christian, not a pretend Christian. You need to go to that person and say, listen, can you pray with me? Or can you pray for my son? Or can you pray for my husband? They're doing time. You know what I mean? And if you find someone that genuinely cares, they will pray for them. And you know, prayer will change. You know, somebody prayed for me for 14 years before I got saved. Somebody prayed every day for me for 14 years. It takes commitment. Sometimes it takes a while for God to get through. But God will never give up on you or me or your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter or your mum and dad. God never gives up. It's only people that give up. And we need to remember that every human being is worth fighting for. Every human being is worth praying for. I have a friend in prison at the moment, and I visit when I can. This friend of mine is never to be released. She's a female, and she's never to be released. And somebody said to me one day, Tony, they said, why did you visit somebody like her? Do you know what she did? You know what crime she committed? You know, why do you waste time going to visit her in prison and other women that are in there for murder? Because somebody has to love them. Because somebody needs to love them. Someone needs to care how they feel. Someone needs to spend time and pray for them. You see, because God loves those people, whether no matter what they've done, whether they've committed murder, whether they committed armed robberies, it doesn't matter. God loves them. He doesn't love what they do, but he loves the person. He loves the sinner. And we need to remember that we need to trust God, and we need to ask God for help in all situations.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end
We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who is lost? Through His love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share.
Australian singer Steve Ryan with People Need the Lord. How appropriate. People we see every day need the Lord. They could be family members, work colleagues, the receptionist in an office we're visiting, or someone we bump into in the street. The Bible says in Colossians 3:12, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." You've been listening to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. You can now contact us via Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International, or alternatively, if you or a family member needs prayer, you're able to contact Tony direct on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. See you next week.